Hi, this is Jack Vaughn speaking to you on today's episode of the Talking Data Podcast, and the topic is NoSQL. NoSQL technology has gained and is continuing to gain attention, particularly as an element in systems of engagement. That is, web applications that feed a recommender or a personalizer, they feed, in effect, the system of engagement with the web user that is the focus of so much application activity these days. We're able to cover IDC Directions 2017 recently in Boston, and Carl Olofsson, Vice President and Analyst at IDC, put it in bas relief. The idea these days is to move from systems of record to systems of engagement, he said. People are reimagining business processes, and the systems now have to be more flexible to deal with that. Because NoSQL is often working without a schema or with a flexible schema, it's much more adaptable. And he pointed to the fact that many of the systems of engagement, he pointed out, were enabled by NoSQL. A large number of NoSQL databases arose in the early days of mega-scaled websites, and their use just seems to be spreading. Let's catch up on just a few of the recent developments and enhancements in this NoSQL space. For its part, in February, Couchbase released Couchbase 4.6 with improved global application deployment. The idea there is that the people are looking to have multiple data centers running applications, and that requires a different way of distributing databases. Also on tap was a net application support for the people using C# and .NET. Very importantly, software has added a new Kafka connector. Very often we see Kafka in the new systems engagement, and an update of Spark, which the Spark connector, which we often see appearing with NoSQL databases these days, ones that need to try and support applications that do fast data ingestion and analytics on the fly. Prior to the Couchbase news came word that Aerospike had released 3.11 of its NoSQL database. The company has been focusing on a hybrid memory architecture, one that supports different memory types, and it has been updated. That means that there's upgraded memory allocators to improve DRAM performance. Also available are improved multiple lock granularity and TLS transport level encryption. There was also NoSQL news from Oracle, but one in fact which is the steward of one of the original entries in that field, which is Berkeley DB. At a developer show focused on cloud development recently, the company launched a version of Berkeley DB that had native JSON support. Now, native JSON support has been one of the hallmarks of Cassandra and Mongo and other NoSQL databases for some time. Also, a community edition license with Apache for the NoSQL database that's based on Berkeley DB was announced.
Yes, this is Jack Vaughn continuing our coverage today on NoSQL, and glad to be joined by Billy Bosworth, who is the CEO of DataStax, commercial provider of the Cassandra NoSQL database, certainly among the most prominent of such databases. Bill, I'd like to get some of your perspective personally, your view on NoSQL as an industry as well.
What we started realizing was the nature of the application was changing pretty dramatically, and in the early days, only a few commercial companies could really see that coming. But what those of us that have been around the industry for a long time, we could see that as these applications transitioned into different requirements and different architectural requirements, relational designs just simply weren't adequate. And I think one of the big misconceptions is that these new companies tend to think that somehow maybe we're smarter or we have more insight into the world, and so we like to denigrate relational. But I tell you, Jack, nothing could be further from the truth. I built my entire career on relational technology, and it's fantastic. It's just a bit antiquated. And as these new cloud applications came on the scene, the rules changed. And it started to put pressure on the data like we had never seen before. And there are really five attributes that make this particularly troubling for relational. And they're kind of in the acronym CARDS, C-A-R-D-S. And these applications require that the data transactions be contextual. It's no longer sufficient that they're just a dumb atomic transaction. It's got to make sense. It's got to make sense to that end user, to that machine. They've got to be always on, and this was a massive change. There's no more windows for batch opportunities or maintenance upgrades. Those are gone. They have to be real time, or in our world we call that also right now. It has to be what's happening in that moment of that transaction. It's got to perform incredibly well when it does that. Now, to make these things happen, it has to be distributed. It's got to be geographically distributed because the nature of these applications – pardon me, requires that the data be located close to the endpoints. That right there created an enormous challenge for relational design, where it was never intended to be distributed in this fashion. And then finally, the last one, the S, is that it's got to be able to scale in a very predictable, linear fashion. Another problem with relational. And the thing is, Jack, any of those five taken in isolation, if I were going to go back and say contextual, always on, real time, distributed and scalable, any one of those attributes, we could maybe sit down as rational people and say how we could make that work with a relational database. Maybe two, maybe three, but not all five. And in the world of these new cloud applications, all five of those are required. And that really puts enormous pressure. And I would argue it's just at some point it becomes nonsensical to try and fit a model that never envisioned those kind of requirements and impose that on modern applications. And so what excited me about the work that we were doing at DataStax and what Cassandra was able to do was it had an architecture that fundamentally was born natively with the DNA to solve those problems.
Okay, let's look at scale. A lot of what we talk about with NoSQL seems to me anyway, it seems the case that volume comes out as really a major issue.
Yeah, certainly the volume is a problem. I would argue, though, it's not the worst of the problems. That's right. You know, because the reality is, in volume, I could take a traditional data warehouse or a Hadoop data lake, and I can, at a pretty efficient cost, manage to store lots and lots and lots of data, petabytes of data, especially in a Hadoop cluster. The challenge that DataStax confronts with solving this problem for our customers is, it's the velocity and the throughput. That becomes the problem. And so for transactional applications, what we used to call, remember the old world, we called it OLTP. For these transactional applications, this concept of the right now moment is everything. If you get that wrong, if you can't satisfy that transaction in that moment, at that millisecond, then you're going to have pretty dire domino consequences throughout your system. And so for us, the problem that we solve when it comes to scale is the ability to maintain transactional performance at tremendous throughput across a distributed system. And that's where it gets tricky, because if it's a read-only system, we can do that, right? We've done that for years. We can shard databases and we can put read-only copies all over the place. But when it has to be contextual in the moment of that transaction, then, and you're doing that across, you know, millions and billions of these moments per second across your universe of customers, that's where things break down in the old model. There was a Cambrian explosion, if you will, of database technologies around 2000, I'd say between 2008 and 2013. There was this massive explosion of projects, you know, hundreds. People don't remember that, but there were hundreds of these things springing up. So what drew my attention to Cassandra in particular was they started solving for a fundamentally different problem. And the problem that they were solving for with building Cassandra was this notion of a distributed transactional system. And to those of us that came from the relational world, this took a little bit of mind bending, right? Because the way we were taught to do things and the way we were taught to build our architectures and our data models absolutely did not lend itself to this concept of a fully distributed kind of environment that could do reads and writes simultaneously across distributed systems. So what was the holdup? What was the problem? The problem was that all of the relational models were built on a concept we called master-slave, where there was a central choke point. And that choke point is what enabled you to give what we called strong consistency. So you could make guarantees about the serialization of your data coming in and also about the consistency of your data throughout that system. However, the problem became what happens when consistency is no longer your number one problem? What happens when throughput is your number one problem and availability is your number one problem? And you got to be always on. You got to take reads and writes distributed. Well, that master model, Jack, will just kill you.
We see the NoSQL databases growing, maturing, adding new capabilities, usually intended for broader uses. You've been at the forefront at DataStax in supporting Spark Analytics connectors, and more recently coming out with a graph database. So where do you see the graphs come to play in this multi-model database future?
When you have extraordinarily highly connected data, that's where graph comes into play. So if you're just ingesting high volumes of time series data, let's say, that's a really good Cassandra use case. If you're looking at some analysis, correlation analysis over time to find a given pattern, that's a good like Spark kind of analytics use case. But when you start trying to count the edges between millions and millions of data points and trying to find the path of least traversal, right, between any two of those points, that's a graph problem. And that does not fit in the relational model particularly well. And quite honestly, it doesn't fit most other data models particularly well. So the layman's example I give is maybe at some point in your life you've heard of the game 6 Degrees from Kevin Bacon, right, where you play this game yeah. on how many people do you know to get to Kevin Bacon, right? And that's a graph problem, and that is an incredibly hard problem to do in those other technologies. So when you're dealing with highly connected data that you have to traverse very quickly to find things like least path and to find patterns, that becomes a very good graph problem.
Well, thank you to DataStax CEO Billy Bosworth for being on the Talking Data podcast today. I'm Jack Vaughn, and thanking you, our listeners, for joining along and being on the podcast ride.